I see that.
Yeah, I think that's supposed to be radio.
I've passed out gospel tracks underneath the Eiffel Tower. And the guy that was our French guide that took us there, we gave him a track in French. And so the next group he was going to haul off on his taxi bike was from England. So I gave them the English gospel track. And the guy that we had just given the French track said, I want one of those too. He wanted one in English. So I thought that was pretty cool. That's what I think of when I see the Eiffel Tower. That was incredible.
It rained.
Okay. Well.
But France doesn't have pumpkins.
No, they didn't.
No. Well, the two tracks that I brought with me when I was there for France, since the only ones we had in France, I took them I think it was one on evolution by Chick, and the other one was the Christmas story.
I didn't know Chick had them in other languages.
Yeah.
He's got like 100 languages.
Oh, yeah. So when we started going to Chinese restaurants, I started buying the Chinese ones and passed those out. So we've had a little bit of fun down through the years.
We had some Spanish tracks here for a while.
Yeah, I've seen the Spanish
one. Yeah. I do have one Spanish track. Maybe I can get that reprinted. Let's see. As we start, I will tell you from the start, I got a ton of notes on the scriptures we're going to go over today. I am no master of them, and we won't have time. It would be here till past noon, just going through them. And Pastor Miller went like that.
He's such a meanie.
I'd still preach and just be here till noon.
So at any rate, though, I will tell you a lot of the notes I'm going to share with you are notes to prod you into doing your own study, because there are so many neat things out of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 17-24. Let's go ahead and start with reading that, and then afterwards I'll ask Brother Doug if he'll ask the blessings on it after we read.
Isaiah 7:1.
Yep, Isaiah chapter 7.
Is it 17-24?
Yeah, 17-24. Okay, I guess I'll start with the odd, and I'll let you guys read the even.
Are you going through the end of the chapter? Because there's 25 verses.
Oh, 25, yes.
Oh, okay.
Did I write down 24?
Oh,
I did. Oh. I'm just going to, you're correct. We're going to 25. And
you read the first one.
Thursday. And yesterday, we must have walked for 8 hours, 4 hours for both of them. And so I'm a little tired. We did pass out over 100 gospel tracks.
Great.
And of the pumpkin, the new pumpkin gospel track, that was well received by everybody. When we was going into Lindsay's
show.
Bakery, huh?
Because you were at the pumpkin show.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, well, you never know what you're going to meet there, okay? And you don't know if the hearts of the people are going to be tender. I had one person turn down the track, but I was giving him the bats and coronavirus one. So he didn't turn down the pumpkin one. But hard-hearted, trying to evade, he saw what was coming. And, you know, when we read Isaiah here, our time here is no different than what it was in Isaiah's time for teaching and preaching the Word of God. Guys, hearts never change except by the Word of God. Without the Word of God, our hearts are just as evil and wicked as anyone else on the planet. So let's start with verse 17. I'll start with 17. You guys do even. We'll go down to the end, and then we'll have Brother Doug here ask God's choice blessings upon his book. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost parts of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come, and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys, and in the holes of the rocks, and upon all thorns, and upon all bushes.
In the same day shall the Lord save with the razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard.
And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep.
And it shall come to pass, for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land.
And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines at 1,000 silver lanes. It shall even be for briars and thorns.
With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns.
And on all hills thou shalt be digged with the mattock. There shall not come thither the fear of the briars and thorns. But it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and for the treading of lesser cattle.
Amen.
Amen and amen. We've got a lot to go over.
Thank
Brother
you, Lord,
Doug.
For this time that Brother John shared with us, and hopefully you'll pick out some good nuggets for us to take home and chew on a little bit, like a dog chewing on the bones. Pray that we be not just listeners, but also good stewards. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. As we start here, I was reminded of the Lord that we have an extra special blessing here at BBF, Ohio, right? We believe that the Authorized King James Bible is the Word of God. When we go to Proverbs 30, verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure.
Amen.
We have no doubts that the words that have been placed in the Authorized King James is the Word of God. Word for word, right down the line. They're pure. And one of my favorite verses is found in Psalm 119:40. And I tried to memorize these verses, but when you're tired, you can't think of them half the time. But in Psalm 119:140, it reads this: thy word is very pure, very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. We love the word of God because it is pure. We have no doubts, no fears that we're going to read something and say, oh, shouldn't that be translated Nephilim? Or shouldn't that be translated Negev? We don't bother with that, guys. Now, we can have a little bit of fun with it, but we're staying with the text as we see it in plain English.
Amen.
When we get judged before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, we're being judged by an Authorized King James Bible. Now, if you're Spanish, there's a Spanish Bible you'll be judged by. If you're a Finnish, you know, from Finland, you got a Finnish Bible you'll be judged by. There are authorized languages all across the world that match the King James. And that's what they'll be judged by. We're going to be judged by the English here. And we don't have to worry about the other 299 false Bibles running around. I ran into one person this week that told me they believed our conscience is the Holy Spirit. How much Bible study have they done?
Zero.
That's what most people, when they say, I heard a still small voice.
Yeah.
That's the same thing they're doing. That's scary because I've heard that still small voice lead people astray many times.
My God wouldn't do that.
Because yeah. And that still small voice in the Bible was an actual voice.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a little bit of fun here with Scripture. I have a hat at home that says, Jesus is my boss.
Amen.
Okay. Occasionally, I have worn that at my place of employment. All right. But I like because we know the Word of God is pure, and we should love the Word of God because it's pure, I'm going to give you a little acronym for the word boss. Okay. We are to believe God's Word. Believe. Trust it. And you can do that because it's pure. We are to obey the Word of God. And we don't have to worry about the commandments being shuffled around. There are some Bibles where the ninth commandment is totally God, or the second commandment is gone. I was studying one religion, and the seventh commandment is gone. We don't pick and choose, guys. That's the way God has laid out His Word. We believe God's Word. We obey God's Word. We study God's Word. The word study is removed in most of all the new Bibles. We are to study. And you study so you can be approved unto God. Whatever subject is near to your heart, study it from the Word of God. That's what God's given to you to study, what you're interested in. Not everyone is interested in the same things that's happening on the earth, but there are things about yourself that you're interested in. There are certain things about what's going on that you're interested in. Study the Word of God. Connect all your thoughts to the Word of God and see what God reveals to you. I'm working on a new track, and the title I decide to give it has already been thrown out the door. The Lord's got another direction in mind, so I'm going to study it and see how the ducks line up, and we'll go by how the Lord wants it. And the last S is for serve. We are to serve the Lord. And we serve the Lord according to what the book says. There's a lot of people out there that I meet that think cutting the grass for the church is they're serving the Lord. And they don't realize in serving the Lord we're supposed to bear fruit. And serving the Lord deals with the gospel, meeting the needs of other people through the gospel. There's nothing wrong with cutting grass.
And cutting the grass.
Yeah, you're not saying cutting grass,
is it? Oh, yeah, absolutely not.
Because it's hard.
Unless you're not to, but they use that as a replacement.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, no, but they use that as a replacement where they're off the hook to do anything else.
Right.
You know, and it's part of the churchology that goes around. Johnny.
And what you just said, that's the same thing with the saying that the Holy Spirit is your conscience. Because, in other words, I believe He can be, but if that's all you're doing, then you're not getting what you need.
Correct. Well, you might laugh. I told the person, I said, so you like
to know. You'll be able to discern if it's him or not, I guess. It could be
20 minutes.
20 minutes, wow. Okay, well, let's start going through this pretty quick here. Verses 17 to 20 has to do with judgment. Pure judgment. When we get to verses 21 to 25, we go with the severity of the judgment, but there's a little bit of grace left in those verses. Let's start with verse 17. In verse 17, the Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. All right? Ephraim, as the 10 tribes that were north of him, as they became smaller and smaller, got known as Ephraim. And it came to the point where the Lord said, I'm done with you guys, your history, your toast. And so he brought in the king of Assyria and wiped them out, and they were taken to Assyria. Just a couple of notes to make with you. Ephraim was the second born of Joseph. And when you study the Assyrians, you find out that was the second born of Shem. When he came off the ark, he had Elam and he had Shem. Fascinating. Now you think those people would have, with the story of Noah, would have realized the judgment of the Lord.
You said that what now was the second born of Shem.
And then Well, Shem is the second born for Noah.
Oh.
And when Shem got off the ark, he had two sons, Elam, and then his second born just happened to be Asher.
And,
right, which became the Assyrians. So
I just want to clarify that.
You're good, because I'm...
It's not like it was Ephraim was the second. I'm like, oh, Asher, you're exactly exactly right.
Right.
Yeah, and Ephraim was the second born for Joseph when he was in Egypt.
Right, so that's the parallel you're drawing.
Right, so I just thought that's an interesting peak. That, that's a great study even in itself. All right? And it says here about Ephraim, the approximate time frame that they were attacked and dissolved was 723 B.C. All right? It's still another 127 years before Babylon comes in and knocks out the rest of Judah and their people. All right? The whole story of Ephraim being attacked by Syria is in 2 Kings, verses chapter 17, all the verses 1 through 41. Let's just take a look at a couple of the verses. Let's go to 12 to 18.
Where are you at again?
2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 17, and let's look at verses 12 to 18 quickly.
2 Kings 17.
Yeah, 2 Kings 17.
Start
in
verse 18.
Yeah, start with verse 18 down to 24.
You want somebody to read that, or I
can
read it?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's fine. Wait, let's see. 12 to 18. Yeah, 12 to 18.
For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and used divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only.
How about that? Well, thank you. There, you see what the comparison is with verse 17 here is. From the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria, he came in, wiped them out. Why? They were given to idolatry. And look at all the things. It says they rejected all of God's commandments. They worshiped the stars of heaven.
And burned their own children alive.
Yeah. Moloch.
I mean, I went through study school and all that for years, and I know I didn't pay attention the way I should have, but I was even into my early 20s and reading the Bible, and I still, it didn't really dawn on me how wicked.
Yeah.
Burning your own children to false gods like that.
Totally.
That explained why God let them just get wiped out.
Old-fashioned abortion.
Well, this was infanticide, because they were already born, but
yeah.
It's the same in God's eyes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Jessica.
So will those, the children that got burned up, will those children be, they'll be in heaven?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they will. Yeah, God is merciful.
Yeah.
Because the little babies were not known to do right or wrong. All right?
Just like the little children in Nineveh that were killed after they repented and then didn't. And
right.
And all those that didn't know the left hand from right
or
the right hand
from
the left, how it says.
Exactly. Let's take a look at Hosea 4:17. Okay, Johnny, can you get Hosea 4:17?
Just that one verse?
Yep.
Okay. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone.
How about that? Again, you see the idolatry that's there with them. All right. I'm going to quickly read you another set out of Hosea chapter 9, verses 13 to 17. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. How about that? Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them, for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. When you hear these people say, well, God is love, what you saying about Ephraim right now? I will love them no more. What a study. I'll leave that one on your own. All their princesses are revolters. They revolted against the word of God. God's word was pure, and they revolted against it. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up, and they shall bear no fruit. Guys, John 15, that herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. All right? We have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but now we're supposed to take the fruit of the Holy Spirit and share that with other believers and share it with the unsaved. And that's how you bear fruit, is by planting the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed.
Where was that again?
What? John 15, 8.
What? No, Isaiah. Isaiah.
Hosea.
Hosea, chapter 9. And then we're going to 13 to 17. Ephraim is smitten, the root is dried up, they shall bear no fruit. Yea, they shall bring forth, yet I will slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. Now that's a scary verse there. But God, guys, he not only sees the past, he sees the present, he sees the future. So as he sees the future, what were these kids going to turn out like? He was being merciful to them. These kids that were slain would be in heaven instead of out creating the wickedness from their parents. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him. They did not what? Listen to the word of God. And they shall be wonders among the nations. So when we get to verse 17 here, that's what we're talking about, Ephraim. Verse 18. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the innermost parts of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. Just a quick for you. When he talks about calling the fly to come in, the fly was used in Exodus chapter 8, verses 20 to 31 as one of the 10 judgments against Egypt. Mm-hmm. The Egyptians believed that they were holy and clean, and so God brought in the flies. And the flies came in and was God's commentary on their holiness. Zero. Yes, I see that hand, brother.
Satan is known as Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies, yes. Excellent. Yeah.
I hate
them. Yeah. The same here.
Perfect hatred.
Well, my favorite verse out of that one is, let's see, when it comes to the flies,
Brother Johnny, I don't like to brag, but the first year we moved into our house out of West Jeff, I killed 3,000 flies.
Wow.
Because we lived next to a pig farmer.
Oh, yeah.
And we still had asbestos siding, and it was really nice and warm. So I would just sit out there and listen to the Bible and books on audio and everything, just whack, and I killed them.
Well, you know, for every 21 flies you got a blue max. probably wallpaper your room there. Well, in verse 31 it says, when God got rid of the flies, there was not one left.
Amen.
What a miracle.
That's right.
Whoever was selling fly swatters went bankrupt when that last fly left. All right? The bee. In Deuteronomy 1, verses 42 to 46, we see people rebelling against the commandment of the Lord. So he brings in the bees and chases them out. So again, both of them are judgment. When we go to verse 20, In the same day shall the Lord save with the razor that is hired, namely, by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head, and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. Okay.
No. Uh-oh. So that thing in Deuteronomy, that was talking about the Amorites.
Yeah.
And they were Asbies.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Places where he says he sent in the hornets, which is a...
Yeah.
Another judgment, which is...
Right. Exactly.
I said, there's no way hornets can chase out a horn. I mean, I said, one hornet can chase me out of the county.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hornets are... Yeah, they're pretty nasty. When it comes to the razor, in 2 Samuel 9, verses 4 and 5, we have David trying to be nice to somebody, and the guy that he was trying to be nice to took David's messengers and shaved off half their beard and half their clothes and brought shame upon them. So when the Lord says, here, I'm bringing in the razor, he says, you're going to be put to shame. You're being put to shame. That's judgment. Then the other one here, let's see. Yeah, okay, I've got the word power down here. In the book of Judges, chapter 16, verses 19 to 20, what do we have there? Samson. He was a Nazarite. He was not supposed to have his hair cut. But there are times he could cut it. If he was in sin, he had to go to a priest and he could have his hair cut that way. Instead, he had his hair cut by the enemy. And he lost his power. Jenny.
Just made an interesting connection. So Jesus is our lamb, and he lost his beard when he got put on the cross.
Excellent.
Some of it.
Well, good portions of it.
The beard was plucked.
Yeah.
Now, you're probably right. They didn't pluck out every single hair.
That's what he said.
Yeah, but, really a mess.
But it was a mess. I had this one lady tell me that he didn't have a beard. He had stubble.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, how do you pull stubble off?
Yeah.
You don't.
I mean, baby after they so, the head stubble.
Guys, always stay with the book. Stay with the book. All right?
And the church constitution.
Wow.
That's where she got that. You know, churches, you can't have facial hair. You can't be an usher or preach or be in the choir. Mm-hmm. Some of those churches.
The Nazarite vow was found, for this is just a reference for you, chapter 6 of Numbers, verses 1 through 6. Actually, it's 1 through 21. 1 through 21, you get the whole history of how the Nazarites were supposed to be,
yeah,
and how they're supposed to operate, and what they're supposed to do with their hair, when to cut it, when not to cut it, and stuff like that. But that's where that reference is when you want to study about the razor and Nazarites. Let's go to verse 21-22. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. Now, if you notice that phrase in verse 22, we have the same butter and honey talked about with Christ in verse 15 of the same chapter. In reference to Christ, it says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. So, when we take a look at the butter and the honey, guys, the butter, how do you get butter? You take the milk. You take the cream off the top, and then you churn it.
Right.
Whip it, okay? The butter is a picture of the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk that you may grow thereby. Right? And what happens when you get the cream? It has to be churned. When you and I take the Word in us, and we go out and share the Word, it's going to be churned. You're going to run into people that has all sorts of weird ideas. I've had them take my tracks and do a dance in front of me and then give it the high five. I've had people lie to me. Oh, yeah. I tried to give someone a Sherlock Holmes track this week. They said, oh, you gave that to me a couple years ago.
I've been kicked out of people's houses and stuff.
Yeah.
Everything but a Boy Scout.
Yeah. Well, I've been attacked at Half Price Bookstore in three places. I've been attacked at a theater that had a play going on, and the actors were upset that they got a gospel track because they were that persuasion.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the word. It gets churned. You know this is the word of God when you go out and present it and you have things happen to you. The honey is a picture of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, you find out it's called the law of the Lord. It's honey. It tastes sweet. Let's see if someone can find Psalm 119, 103. Psalm 119, 103.
I can do it.
Okay, Johnny.
How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Yeah. There comes a point when you spend enough time in the book that the word of God becomes sweet to your soul. And it's sweet, it nourishes. Honey, I believe, is the only thing that doesn't spoil. All right? And it's a natural food. And it's good if you've got allergies. Mm-hmm. Find the honey that's made in your area, and the honey becomes like a healing balm. Jenny?
Well, it's also good for coughs. Like, that's what yes. I've been told. Like, if you have a bad cough, you're supposed to eat like...
Bad cough, yeah. Put a little lemon with it.
Like a tablespoon or two of honey, like, every 6 hours.
Correct. Doug?
They found in tombs honey, and all you do is just heat the honey back up a little bit, which is as good as it ever was.
Wow. Janie?
You said that was Psalm 19 what?
119, 103.
Oh, I thought you said 19.
Yeah, it's 119, 103. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In John, in Revelation 10:10, John the Beloved ate the word of God and it was honey to his mouth. And then later on it became bitter. Not that the honey became bitter, but he saw what was going on. Let's take a look at, let's see, verse 23-24 of Isaiah chapter 7. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines at 1,000 silverlings, it shall even be for briars and thorns. The word silverlings here is the only time it's mentioned in Scripture. Only time. And it comes from the word silver, money. So he's talking to you about there's 1,000 vines and they cost 1,000 pieces of silver. All right? But what happened? Bankruptcy. Bankruptcy. Why? Because what happens here? It shall even be for briars and thorns. All the vines are gone. There's nothing left. The destruction of the Lord come in, and all the vines are gone. Verse 24. With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. If you know anything all about briars and thorns, In the beginning, when God created this beautiful earth, there were no thorns. The thorns and briars came up after the curse, after Adam and Eve sinned. And if you notice on thorns, Christ had a crown of thorns. Again, a picture of the curse of nature. Yes?
So even roses didn't have thorns?
No, they did not.
No thorns.
You could grab a whole bunch, don't worry about being Iron Maiden. Believe it or not. Of course, one of my favorite characters is Morticia from the
Addams Family. That's what I was just thinking.
She cuts off the roses and keeps the thorns. A little American humor, okay? It's okay. It's fine. So at any rate, that deals with the thorns. Let's take a look. Someone can get Proverbs 24, verses 30-34. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30-34. We're going to see a little picture behind the thorns, the briars and the thorns.
I got it.
24, verse 30, down to the end of the chapter.
He that said unto the wicked,
no.
That,
so, and I went by the field of the slothful.
What was the verse?
Proverbs 24, 30 through 34.
Yep.
Okay. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and in nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked up on it and received instructions. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come upon the travel, and they went as an armed man.
Yep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and they went as an armed man. What can we discern about what happened with Ephraim and all the 10 tribes? They were lazy. They spent no time in the book. They spent no time building relationships. They spent no time worshiping the Lord. They rejected all his commandments. They were all engaged in idolatry. They're all engaged in vanity. That's something we have to be careful with in our own lives. Because we can backslide like anybody else.
Yeah.
We need to be busy spending time, being diligent. Be diligently seeking the Lord and studying his word and reading it and walking with them. And let's see, verse, the broken down wall represented faith. Or if you go to Isaiah 26:1, the broken down wall in Proverbs 24 is a picture of salvation. They weren't seeking the Lord for salvation from sin. Okay, verse 24. With their arrows and bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. Verse 25. And on all hills that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither the fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and the treading of lesser cattle. Now, not every single person was taken away to Assyria. There's a small remnant left behind. And the small remnant that the Lord left behind was taking the thorns and the briars and taking a mattock and reclaiming the land, reclaiming it. All right? The Lord showed mercy on those people. It's fascinating. God's judgment has mercy with it if we'll seek the Lord. And I'm sure that the group he left behind were people that trusted in him. And the Lord said, don't worry, I got you covered here. I've got you covered. Going back to verse 23, because we covered most of all the notes now all the way down to the end, but if you notice in verse 23, it talks about the vines. The vines.
2 minutes.
There are two vines in Scripture. Jesus Christ is called the true vine, and that's found in John 15:1. Mm-hmm. But then in Deuteronomy 32:32, there's the other vine, which is what Ephraim represented, and eventually Judah, and it's what's coming up on the scene. The other vine is called Sodom. All right? You can't mistake the two vines. You're either in the true vine or you're in the other vine. Either one. Ezekiel 15:1-8 talks about the vine tree. The vine tree was good for nothing to be what? To be thrown in the fire. That's the Sodom vine. Cast into the fire. If you notice in John 15:6, those that aren't abiding in the vine get cast into the fire. In Deuteronomy 32:14, the juice inside of the grapes, which comes from the vines, which comes from the vineyard, is called pure blood. When Christ died on the cross, the pure blood was squeezed out. Isaiah 65:8 says the new wine is found where? In the cluster. So when you see the word new wine through Scripture, it's grape juice. It's found inside the cluster.
Not always. Gotta be accurate.
Okay.
It's not always. There's, you can get drunk on new wine, so you just gotta be careful what you're, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We get that from people all the time. It's like new wine.
Well, if it ferments, yes.
Yeah, it's still.
But when it ferments, wine. That becomes old wine.
No, that's. I'm just saying, I've talked on this before, that if you run the references to new wine, there are numerous places where new wine is. But just like any, if you go now and buy new wine, it's cheaper. If you buy the old wine, that's what they were telling Jesus when he made wine at the wedding of Cana. And fundamentalists want to fix him and say he made grape juice. And he didn't. He made wine. And they said, well, usually they serve the good wine, and then once everybody gets a couple of drinks of that, they give you the new wine because it's not as good. But you saved the best for last.
In Hosea 4:11, so, it says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying. Yes. He made... what would be called new wine, but it was better than the old.
And then the last part, in the Nazarite vow, they would eat nothing of the vine tree. Eat nothing of the vine tree. There's a great study in all those scriptures. So, one of the things with idols... I found in Exodus 20:17, coveting has turned into an idol, and that's found in Colossians 3:5. Ezekiel 23:37, adultery is considered an idol, and that's Commandment 7. In Ezekiel 23:39, murder is called idol. That's Commandment 6. In Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8, the root of all evil is again connected with idols. In Judges 17:4, there's the idols dealt with the second, eighth, and the first commandment. And in Genesis 31, verses 34 to 35, the ninth commandment, telling lies is considered idol. So when a person worships an idol, they're breaking all the Ten Commandments, every single one of them. Great study. Okay, well, Chuck, we'll let you close this out with the word of prayer.
Consuming your word with the taste of honey and be able to spit it out when we live here and share it with someone else. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hi, homeliners. See you in a bit. Go get your tea.